Well, how many times do you think you have used your smartphone today? Do you use it as an alarm to wake you up in the morning? Is it the first thing you check in the morning? I know for me it is. I'll even now be watching something on Netflix while I'm checking my phone and possibly even listening to a podcast all at once. A lot of us are so attached to our phones. If an alien were to come down to Earth, they may think that they were just an extension of our arms. And sometimes for our teenagers, I think they actually are. Recent research is showing that most teenagers reach for their phone every 12 minutes. And our smartphone addiction has now spurned a digital wellness industry, which is designed to curb screen time. And possibly there are detox programs coming as well. But if you don't want to fork out lots of money to do a digital detox, what are some self-help strategies to get that hand off your phone? Dr. Joanne Orlando is a researcher in digital lifestyle, and she's from Western Sydney University. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Did I get your title right?
You got it right.
Excellent. Now, how much are we rolling over in bed in the morning, waking up and checking our phone? How early in the day does the phone begin?
Well, our habits have changed a lot recently. So now the latest stats show that about 85% of us, the first thing we do is roll over, not kiss our partner, but roll the other way and have a look at our phone.
Which doesn't have morning breath, but is still not a great look, is it really?
No, it's not.
But it's also, I think one of the reasons it's become so ubiquitous is it's taken over from the early morning radio and the alarm clock and our watch in the day. So it can do everything for us.
That's the thing. It does do everything for us. Before, we had all these separate products or separate items that we went to at particular times in the day. We had our clock radio for our alarm clock. We had our newspaper. We listened to the radio, which was on a different device. And we had these multiple things that we went to. But now we go to the one thing, which is usually our phone. It's kind of taken over from the laptops now. It's really our phone.
We can do everything on it.
That's right. So we're still often doing similar kinds of things in the day, but a lot of us get really worried because we keep going to that one thing that we own, and it seems to be becoming a very dominant part of our life. And people get a bit worried, oh my gosh, I'm just spending so much time on my phone.
Why does it matter if we're spending so much time on our phone?
I think we all feel when we're a little bit out of balance. It's like when you put on weight, you know, you don't need anyone to tell you you've put on weight. You just know you've been eating too much or indulging too much, and you can just feel it's not healthy for you. And I think it's the same thing when it comes to our phone. We just know if we're just overusing it, we just know we're a bit out of kilter there, and it's just not feeling healthy for us.
Mm. And if you feel a bit panicked that you're not checking it, you know, for me, when there's a boring bit of a show, I'll check my phone, which is ridiculous.
And that's how it is. It's a state I call zombie scrolling. So it's, you know, when you are watching TV, just like you said, and it's a bit boring, but you've got your phone next to you, or you're waiting in line for coffee, or you're waiting for the bus, and you sort of, it's those lulls in the day when nothing much is happening, and that's just a typical day. So to save ourselves from boredom, we've always got our phone with us. Most people just pull out their phone. And as you said, it's about every 12 minutes that teenagers pull out their phone, but adults have very similar statistics as well.
So they're no worse than us? Or
no, we can't keep blaming the teens. Oh. Adults are very much showing the same kinds of habits as teenagers.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's very hard to lecture them while you're checking something on the phone and you go, get off your phone. And they're like, excuse me.
Yeah, from my research, I do a lot of research in families, homes, and talking to children, talking to teenagers, talking to parents. And often, you know, it's quite amazing. Often I'll be talking to parents and they'll be worried about their kids' screen time, but they themselves will be holding their phone the whole time I'm interviewing them. So it's very much the examples we're also giving our kids about screen time too.
Yeah, we can't put it down, can we? People walk around with it. They take it to the bathroom. They always have, it's become a security blanket in life.
Yeah, that's right. You do tend to take it everywhere with you. And from a philosophical point of view, it is referred to as an extension of ourselves. So it's not like you're carrying around your wallet or your car keys. They're a little bit different. They're important, but not as important as your phone. And now, you know, we've got things like your credit card on your phone, so you don't even need to carry your wallet anymore. You can just pay with your phone. You've got your clock on there. It's your vitals that are on there.
Yeah, I don't carry a wallet anymore. I've got my credit card in my phone case. So are you guilty of this as well, or does doing this research make you very wary? Or do you think it's not a problem? Like, is it just the next stage of human development? You know, is the you've got those evolution images of, you know, coming kind of the creature slowly standing up, and I think the last one should now be bending over and looking at a smartphone.
I think that arched neck, that classic I'm checking my phone sort of stance, and I have seen pictures like that, and I think we all can relate to it, that is, this is the next stage. I think many of us, the more we rely on the phone, the more we use it. And it's funny how we're not even referring to other devices anymore because it is the phone. So I think in terms of our evolution as humans, technology has been a big part of our lives now for about, say, about 10 years. But our massive phone use has probably been about 4 to 5 years. I think anyone listening, your phone use has probably changed and intensified, I would say, the last 2 to 3 years. And that's with the proliferation of smartphones. You know, it's really been a game changer in terms of how much we want to use it. So now in terms of our evolution, what would the next picture be? Well, it could be quite extreme and quite bad. So I think it's really important at this point to start to really reflect on your phone use. And if there are things that aren't working for you, that you aren't happy with in terms of your well-being, take a step back and really think about why you're using your phone. Why do you pick it up in the day?
Mm. And is it just a security blanket kind of thing that you, that fear of missing out, you always have to be connected? It's possibly a quiet part of it, but it's also just becomes habit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's both. So fear of missing out, or it's often referred to as FOMO. We all feel it. Teenagers probably feel it a bit more because at their stage of development, what's happening with their peers and their friendship group is really important, and they don't want to miss out on it. So when I talk to teenagers in my research, you know, they get really worried if their, you know, mum tells them they're not allowed to use their phone past 10 p.m. because they're going, hey, I'm going to miss out on these really important conversations and I'll be left out at school the next day. We're not so much like that as adults, but we do worry about, we do say things like, what if the kids call me? I need to be, you know, I need to have my phone with me. We're constantly checking social media in case we've missed anything. Not that much really sort of happens for us on social media, but we do like the idea of not missing out on, in case anything good comes through.
Yeah, and I wonder last week when Instagram and Facebook went down, whether people were severely affected, you know, psychologically.
That's right. It probably did everyone a little bit of good, but yeah, absolutely.
I know that some schools now are banning the phone in the day, like they have to put it in their locker and get it at the end of the day. Have you looked at what sort of effect this is having and how hard it is for the teens, or heard anything anecdotally about that?
Yeah, I have heard things anecdotally. So no study has been done yet because it's a fairly new thing that's happening here. It is happening overseas in parts of the UK and France and so forth as well. I hear mixed messages about this. So some teachers will say, oh, it's just the kids are so much calmer at school now. There's a lot less fighting, a lot more sort of social engagement with each other. That's what we wanted, you know, at lunchtime, and those times are out in the playground. In the classroom, normally teachers wouldn't allow a child to have a phone on their desk. So in the normal course of a classroom, you can't have a bit of a free-for-all, go on Instagram whenever you want.
They can take photos of their homework with it, though.
That's right.
They do stuff like that. A lot of schools do, I think.
That's right. And that's definitely a good side to it, that you can use it really productively. Why should you have to, you know, copy down these notes like we did 50 years ago? Take a photo.
It goes into your brain, that's why.
Well, it's all different ways of learning, So there are those productive uses. But then on the other hand, teachers are saying, well, hey, I actually can't use technology productively in my class. I can't teach my students how to use technology productively. I'm not having the opportunity to use it to help them to learn. So when are they actually going to learn to use it in this way? They go home, they'll just go on social media. So it's sort of taking out one of our major resources out of the learning situation, which is also a problem.
Yeah. You're on Nightlife. We're talking about digital connection and the addiction to phones. We're mostly focusing on phones because that seems to be where it is. Dr. Joanne Orlando researches this, and she's from Western Sydney University. What apps are sucking up most of our time? I bet that is age-related as well.
Yeah, but overall, it's social media. So depending on what age, but Instagram, Facebook, Instagram for the younger people, Facebook for older people. There are a lot of older people going onto Instagram now. So if you looked at your phone, you would see that if you would have something around your screen time use, and that breaks down your use, but it is social media. That's the biggest time waster.
Yeah, yeah. And your phone's now telling you, it reports at the end of the week about how much time you've spent on it compared to the other weeks as well. Why are they doing that? That's an interesting development, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a great move by the technology companies. So we've got Apple doing it, we've got Google, we've got like YouTube, those kinds of things as well. So you can now track your technology use. And that's brilliant, because prior to late last year when all these things came out, we were just using our phone or our technology and not really having any idea of how much time we're actually spending on there. But now, yeah, you get your report. It's a bit like a school report, isn't it? Okay, you've been on, you know, productivity apps for this long, half an hour. You've been on social media 6 hours, that kind of thing. You've picked up your phone this many times. Mm. And that's the information that we need to be really aware of our screen time habits. And it's only when you have that kind of information can you actually start to see, all right, I'm picking up my phone 121 times in a day. That's not good. I want to change that. Or I'm spending 5 hours a day on Instagram. That's not good. I want to change that. So you need that info to start to work out where the problems are. And then you can start to work out, well, how am I going to make this better?
Mm. I mean, there's implications here on so many levels, isn't there? In terms of productivity as well, like the productivity you have as a person, both in work but also in life, like your life productivity, how much connection you're making with friends and doing things that are good for you as opposed to this. So how do you know you've got a problem and you are reducing your productivity? You're becoming a less useful person to others and in your life and career?
Yeah, well, everyone's different. So everyone needs their phone in different ways. So a lot of people do rely on their phone for their work, for their productivity, but everyone is different. So
well, it makes you more productive in a way, isn't it? Because you check your emails on the train, for instance.
It can, that's right. Mm. You can send out a group chat to everyone in the family saying, all right, we're having dinner at 7 p.m. today. You know, that can really enhance, you know, how well organized you are. But you know there are things that you're doing on your phone that are unproductive, that suck up time in the day, that stop you from actually connecting with the people who are physically around you. And it's identifying those kinds of things, those things that make you feel a bit uncomfortable around your technology use.
So you do have a bit of a conscience in there. How do you activate that and how do you tune into those feelings of, yep, I'm wasting too much time?
Yeah, so I was recently talking to a 15-year-old and I was telling her about these, you know, tools on her phone. So she checked out it with me when I was there, and she realised that in the past 7 days that she'd spent 24 hours on Snapchat, and she just on the one social media app because that's all she was using. And she was absolutely astounded. Like, she knew she used it a lot, but that figure was quite confronting for her. So then together we worked out how she might, because she really wanted to change it. She didn't like it at all, how she might go about doing it. Now, I could have told her things to do, but that wouldn't work out because it actually has to come from yourself, because you have to be quite committed to it. It's like making any change in your life. You have to sort of make the decision and own it yourself. So she just tried to reduce the amount of the hours in the day that she would actually use Snapchat. So she constrained the hours. So she wasn't using it all day. She worked out, I'm just going to use it in the morning between these times, and in the afternoon or night between these times. And that actually really did work for her. She owned it. She stuck to it because she wanted to make the change, and she did start to bring down the amount of time, hours that she was spending on Snapchat.
But didn't she miss a vitally important conversation about, you know, who's got the nicest wallet at school or something?
She did. And this is what she said. She said, her friends were starting to get a little bit, you know, hey, why aren't you on there? Are you snubbing us? It's that kind of idea. It's not just missing out. It's your friends thinking, hey, we're not friends with you anymore. So from a teenage point of view, I'm sure everyone gets that. So what she did to stop any sort of anxiety happening in her friendship group was just saying, I've made a decision. I'm not on Snapchat, you know, after 10 p.m. or whatever she decided. And that helped to alleviate those social anxieties that were happening around it. She kind of knew she was missing out, but she'd made a decision there. A
conscious decision. Yeah, so and it requires worked. Quite a lot of willpower though, doesn't it? And self-strength.
Yeah, I was really proud of her actually. It did. Mm. It did because she just wasn't comfortable with what was happening. She just didn't want to spend a life like that, I think. Yeah.
And what about for adults? Is it the same sort of issues? It's got to be about, you know, admitting like step number one, I have a problem and how can I reduce it? What am I actively going to do?
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it's about you. Thinking, oh, I don't like this, you know, I'm spending way too much time on social media. But sometimes, you know, you have your partner complaining, you're always on Facebook or you're always on your phone. So it can be both of those. And sometimes those two things work together and the penny drops and you make the decision. So, yeah, I think it's about baby steps. So you can do a digital detox and get rid of your phone for the weekend. But then what happens when Monday comes? Are you going to fall back into the same routines?
So cold turkey is not necessarily good.
I don't think it is for most people. And I don't think cold turkey is doable in the long term as well, because we have jobs, we have families and, you know, people who are counting on us, that kind of thing.
You can't do abstinence, yeah.
It's really difficult. Yeah. So I think it's about baby steps. It's about identifying first the thing that you want to change. There might be many things that you want to change, but one thing you want to change. So say you pick up your phone, you know, as I said, 121 times a day. Nah, saying I'm going to only pick it up 10 times in a day, well, that's not going to work. So let's just reduce it a doable amount. Let's say just to 100 or 90 times in a day. So you've made the decision. Then you need to look at your habits. So look at the tools that your device has got. See the day times in the day when you pick up your phone a lot.
How do you do that?
Yeah, it's on those screen time tools. So if you've got something like an iPhone, it'll show you the times in the day.
In your settings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the times in your day that you're picking up your phone the most. So it might be like things like when you're picking up the kids from school, you know, you're doing things in the car or, you know, when you wake up in the morning or whatever
it is.
Hopefully
not on it in the car, but yeah.
No, that's right. And then you start to reduce it. So you have to actually take strategies to help yourself. So pop the phone, you know, in the boot, put it in your bedroom, not in the living area, put it out of sight, turn it off for half an hour.
I'm going to get a watch and a clock. Because our clock just broke at home, so we're completely all using our phones now. We haven't bothered replacing it. So I'm going to replace the clock and perhaps even consider buying a watch.
Yeah, so it's kind of like replacing those bad habits with something else. So if you just say, I'm not going to do it, well, that doesn't help. You need something to replace that habit that you're trying to change.
Mm. What do you think this is doing to our brains if we don't do this and we keep going with this exponential checking and constant, you know, this third hand that it's become a part of our body.
Yeah.
Do you think is there evidence that it is making us chronically short-term thinking, not being able to be bored anymore, perhaps a bit ADHD?
Yeah, we are starting to see a little bit of evidence around that. And of course, it's always different for everyone and also has to do with the other factors in their life. But the idea of always being on, your brain is always switched on, always active, always checking, looking, that kind of thing. So it reduces the amount of time our brain has to sort of just rest and relax. And that can lead to fatigue. It can lead to sleep problems. It can lead to that kind of fuzzy feeling that you have in your brain when it's hard to concentrate. So it's that lack of brain rest, which is a big part of it. So if you're using your phone from the first time you wake up all through the day, right to the very end of the day, midnight, you finally put the phone down, wake up again at 6, you can see how it can be quite exhausting. Now, it depends on what you're doing on there, but overall, you know, if you're really active on there, that's what happens.
You're even using your phone for your mindfulness app or your meditation music. It's, you know, it's even wound into not trying to rest your brain. It's even helping us do that. It's totally ubiquitous.
That's right. That digital well-being, there's heaps of apps around that now to help. And it is quite ironic, isn't it? But, you know, if it works, if you've just got if you put the device in the background and really just look at the content, that's what you need to do. You can't sort of be on there and looking at it and flicking through as well while you're on the app.
Well, isn't that interesting? Is the solution on the device? Maybe for some.
Maybe for some.
I'm suspicious.
These apps are very popular, but they're all fairly new as well, so they will start to sort themselves out after a while.
Right.
But they've got things like now that if you've got a digital watch, or there's various apps which just are about mindfulness. So you sort of organize them for yourself during the day. And like the Apple Watch has got this breathe thing. So every now and then you'll just see this breathe motif come up on you.
What, telling you to breathe?
Telling you to breathe. So breathing is a very much part of mindfulness, being aware of your breath.
My app's telling me to breathe.
That's right. So you could say, oh, yeah, that's right, my app's telling me to breathe. Or I suppose, embrace it and think, okay, that's just reminding me to slow down for 1 minute or 5 minutes.
I don't know. I can see the conflict in this, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Very much so, isn't it? That's I agree it's useful, but the fact is that it's also possibly spying on us. So now they even know when we're breathing. They know when we're trying to meditate and relax. They're monitoring our vital signs.
That's
all
right.
Being uploaded into the cloud.
That's right. And I think that can add a lot of stress. So we've got the screen time thing and we're worried that we're on our phone too long. But there's also the idea that all this information is being collected about us because of our screen use. So every move we make online is being documented and put somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that in itself can add to a lot of people's stress about their technology use too.
Mm. Yes, Big Brother's watching. All right, keep your radio on, turn your phone off. Thank you so much for chatting to me tonight.
Thanks, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Joanne Orlando, who's a researcher at Western Sydney University into digital life.